yak, 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 yakin off.
Yak, 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 yakin off. Yak, 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 yakin off.
You know, Jack, I think that most of the listeners that we get tune out after that first 30 seconds, because that's the one thing that I always hear is, man, I really like that theme song. That's really
good. It's legit.
Yeah, it was my one stroke of genius. Unfortunately, the podcast is going to last for years and years, and the only good thing I'm ever going to do on the podcast is the theme song. So, well, obviously, you're listening to another episode of Yakking Off with Jack and Tom. Jack and Tom are here to talk your heads off about anything we feel like talking about. I know that I have, I just downed one of these Neurosonic energy drinks. I was just showing Jack the bottle. I don't know if you guys have ever, if you've gone to like a 7-Eleven or a Wawa and you see a drink that looks like a lava lamp. The one thing that's weird about them is are you writing a novel over there, Jack?
No.
Sounds like it. Typing away over there. These neuro drinks, they're basically, there's different names. There's like Neurosonic and Neurobliss and Passion is one, which apparently used to be called Neurogasm. But they all have different things that they're supposed to do. Like the Neurosonic is like a energy drink that's also supposed to help with mental acuity, I guess. Supposed to help with focus and things like that. But they don't give you a flavor on the bottle. Like basically you just have to guess. You know, like
the bottle's orange. That should tell you enough.
Well, it's actually red, or like a pinkish red if you see it in person. That's just my bad laptop camera. But the Neurosonic tastes like Flintstones vitamins, but it's also slightly carbonated. So it kind of, it's a good soda replacement because I haven't been drinking soda. The only problem is that these things are like $2.90 or something a bottle. So that's it's at least twice the price of a soda. But, it's only 35 calories, so that is helping me lose weight. I'm already down 16 pounds since I started losing weight like 2-3 weeks ago, so that's good.
Oh, good for you. I didn't even know you were doing that.
Yeah, I got super fat. I hit 210, and I'm only 5'9", and it's not like I'm a bodybuilder or anything. So I was like, what the hell happened? I don't even know.
Yeah, I need to lose my winter coat as well.
Yeah.
I live in Florida, I really shouldn't put on a winter coat, but I do.
Yeah, right? God forbid it hits, you know, I know when it hits 45, it's like the end of the world there. Because I know it has, I think recently you guys had a cold front come in, right?
Yeah, it was cold here last week. It was down in the high 30s.
Wow.
Like hovering around freezing.
That's end of the world stuff right there.
It really was.
That's worse than zombie apocalypse, I think. Mm-hmm. Winter happening and like winter coming. It's like Game of Thrones. Winter is coming to Florida.
But beware.
There's no dragons or Khaleesi.
Run for your lives!
I'd be okay with the whole Game of Thrones thing if there was Khaleesi. I love Khaleesi.
I haven't seen that yet.
Not? Oh, you're missing out. It's a slow churn, you know? Don't expect every episode to be crazy good, like you know, high action or whatever, but the ones that are amazing. I mean, it's like a super high budget. It's like a, you know, like a Lord of the Rings movie, but it's a TV show, and it's actually entertaining to watch every week.
Right.
That's a dig. They can both get boring, I guess. Lord of the Rings, like that whole genre, you know, you can't expect sword fights and battles every episode, but when they happen, it's huge. It's not like Spartacus, which for the past like 4 weeks has been crazy great action like every single week. Like this whole season it's just been like balls to the walls, you know, going out with a bang, I guess. Have you been keeping up with it,
with Spartacus?
Yeah.
No, because I don't have stars.
Ah, you need to just find it online someplace or something. It's been so good. And I have a friend of mine who lives actually in Singapore now, but we grew up together. And he is eventually going to be hosting a podcast on our podcasting network, which is going to be called basically International Man of Infamy. So, so he's going to basically this kid's. He does crazy shit all the time. But throughout his travels, I guess one of the things that he wanted to try to do was meet girls by helping charities. You know, he didn't want to help charities because it was the right thing to do, but it's a side effect. When meeting girls actually does have a positive impact on the community, it's never a bad thing. But apparently he's gotten really good at fundraising, like corporate fundraising. So somehow, through business connections or whatever, he is talking to the girl that plays Gannicus's girlfriend in Spartacus, and he's having this like charity event out in LA in a couple weeks. So I'm gonna go out and fly out there, and I think I'm gonna be hanging out with the cast of Spartacus. So that could be cool. I'll try to get some interviews if I can. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, not everything that he does actually pans out. So we'll see if it actually goes as planned.
Surprise. He is the international man of infamy.
Yeah, just wait till his... I mean, he's got so many stories. I mean, even if we do a half hour a week, we could probably do a full year and do an episode every single week, and he'll have some kind of story or something.
Cool. Looking forward to that one.
Yeah, so I've rambled on for, what, like 6 minutes here without you really saying anything. So what's on your mind?
What's on my mind? All kinds of stuff, actually. I had a fairly productive weekend, and there's a lot of good news stuff coming out, so I really don't know where to start.
Well, you're a professional, so find your place.
Yeah, semi-professional. I don't know. You want to do the yakking off thing?
Well, pretty much we are. We don't have to announce every time we yak off, you know. Basically,
like letting people know that I'm yakking off.
Yeah, well, you can let them know what you're doing when you're doing it, I guess. I'll keep my yakking off private and secretive. You'll have to guess when I'm doing it.
You can tell, because your breathing gets as heavy as mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So don't think it's all my breathing, folks.
When I
could
talked to you earlier
well.
Today, I was like, whoa, what the hell is Jack doing over there? Because the video is down for once, and you're just like, I was like,
yeah,
okay,
I really need
Jack.
To go to the doctor. I've had this shit since Daytona, the Monday after Daytona, which is 2 weeks ago now. 2 weeks ago today. And I can't shake it. It's like set into my sinuses, and my voice sounds bad, and I refuse to not smoke, so that doesn't help.
Yeah, it sure doesn't.
So, anyway, what I have been excited about the past week is a little show that a lot of people have suddenly picked up on. It seems to be everybody's new favorite show, and that's Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty. See, I can't say that I've actually watched it, and I've heard things about it, but you're going to have to completely explain this to me. So what the hell is this show, and why should I care?
Duck Dynasty is one of these quote-unquote reality shows about a family that made their money by making duck calls. The father started the business back in the 70s, I believe, maybe earlier. Just made an invention that apparently every duck hunter wanted and made quite a good living at it. And now he's turned the business over to his son. He's retired. The family is your stereotypical rednecks, but the thing that makes it so good is that they are hilarious. The situations that the producers put them in and the way that their delivery is and everything, it's one of the funniest things on TV right now, I think.
Are you laughing at the like, are they making fools of the people, or is it like what? Okay, I guess
it's
I'm
a combination of
the,
both.
The humor.
It's not
like, are we just making fun of rednecks? Is that what we're doing?
Not really. They just put them in funny situations. Like, for example, the episode that was on last week, and spoiler alert if you watch it and you haven't seen it, Uncle Cy, who's like the crazy, deranged Vietnam vet who just doesn't give a shit. And you know, the stereotypical redneck hunter, he was duck hunting, and he had a dog that wouldn't listen to him. So throughout the episode, he went looking for a dog, and when the episode wrapped up, they were out in the field dove hunting again, and everybody was making fun of his dog, and turned out he got a poodle. So it was just humorous to see these big rednecks with all their guns and long beards sitting there with a poodle. And actually, the poodle was a good hunter. He went and retrieved the dove. I never knew poodles were good hunters.
Yeah, I don't know anything about poodles. So yeah, I can't get into that whole like genre of TV where it's basically kind of semi-reality based. I mean, I get you would you consider that a reality show, I guess, right?
It is considered a reality show, but it's not.
Yeah. I mean, none of them are.
And
though.
All those reality shows like Pawn Stars, and which is another one I like, and Storage Wars and everything, when the producers make them sit down and do those one-on-one interviews with the camera, their delivery is terrible. You can tell they're definitely reading.
Right.
And they shoot these things, if you want to go with how the show flows, they shoot these things with the outcome in mind or not in mind. So I'm assuming they sit the people down and they say, okay, we want you to do an interview now and pretend you won. Now we want you to do an interview how you'd feel were you lost.
Yeah.
And they do it that way. I actually have a friend who's been on a reality show. She was on Cupcake Wars on the Food Network, and I'd like to get her on for an interview, and she can definitely give us some insight into how those reality shows are filmed.
Yeah, that would be good. I know that Dana Michael, the girl I interviewed a couple weeks back now, she is hopefully putting me in touch with some people too that work for TLC or Discovery or one of those kind of reality-based networks. So hopefully I'll be able to line some stuff up with that too. That'll be cool. But the shows that are semi-reality-based, like at least in that genre that I've been watching, like I literally just finished watching Bar Rescue, and then I started watching Kitchen Nightmares too. So I've been watching those shows because, you know, you don't really learn. I mean, it's kind of common sense stuff that you learn about business, but I kind of, at least you can kind of pull away. Like, not that I'll ever own a bar or restaurant, but I may at some point, you know, I don't know. I may have a business at some point that has that type of service, like, included with it. So it would be helpful to know about the bar, you know, the service industry that or that side of it or whatever. But I think those shows are kind of interesting. But again, it's a lot of manufactured, like, tension. And it's like every show, it's like, will this family break up? Will this bar close down? The only way to find out is to tune in, you know, and it's just like, I know what's going to happen. You know, there's never an episode where it's like, oh, yeah, okay, we can't help. Sorry. You know, we're going to leave. Yeah.
But we're out of here. We spent all this money in production. We're just peacing out.
Yeah.
There was actually one episode of Kitchen Nightmares, because I watched that one as well, where Gordon Ramsay did leave, but he left for all of 5 minutes. He's like,
yeah, right. It's always
fuck this. I'm out. And then he came back and he's like, okay, I've calmed down.
He does that a lot. Yeah. But the like John Tapper, I guess his name is, from Bar Rescue. Like, he was actually like, he physically got into a, you know, they were like pushing each other and stuff, the owner of this bar. So it was a good episode. I mean, it was good drama or whatever. But the main reason I watch it is, like, ultimately at the end of the episode, the way they turned the bar around, them, they actually did some really cool stuff to this bar that would make me want to go there. You know, the episode just aired tonight, literally just got done. So by the time any of you are hearing this, hopefully on Sunday, you know, if you watch the show, you've seen it. But that's not really a show you can spoil. You know, I'm not spoiling anything by saying, oh, guess what? He turned the bar around. that's pretty much every episode. If I get an email from somebody, oh, man, you ruined it for me. I really thought this one was going to be different. But they came out with this, it's like a billiards place. They call it a badass billiards, and they call it Solids and Stripes. Because it's like an Americana theme inside, and the owner was from Israel, and he was like in the Israeli army, so he's kind of a, you know, kind of a hard ass a little bit, but he wanted to be an entertainer his whole life, so he's worried more about entertaining the crowd and honestly giving away booze and stuff. I mean, he thought the only way to fix his bar was to give away drinks, which is not really going to attract the right kind of crowd, you know.
And where is this bar?
It is in Denver, Colorado. So
shit,
in college,
that's way too far.
Which is weird. Like, in the beginning of the episode, they talk about the median income, and it was like the median income is $15,000 in Denver, Colorado, a major city.
No.
Like, it must have been the median income of college students in the area. Like, that would make sense because you're working part time. But yeah, there's no way the median income is 15 grand in Colorado. I mean, I know it's not as expensive as it is on the coast, you know, to live in Colorado. But that is really low. Like, that's below poverty. Like, that's the people that, you know, that all these people on these political shows are all, oh, my God, the country is failing and there's no middle class because everyone makes no money and
right,
all that kind of stuff.
What is minimum wage? $7.79.
Is it $7.79?
Yeah.
It was like $7.25 or something. I don't even know.
No, it's $7.79. At least it is in Florida, because we just went through a hiring thing at work and I... I found out.
Yeah. You have a lot of minimum wage jobs at your work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, got to start somewhere, kids.
Yeah, all that unskilled labor gets paid $7.79. If you can just stand there and half-ass tell people where to go throughout their day, then you're fine.
Right. When I was 16, I was making minimum wage $5.15.
Yeah, $7.79 based on 40 hours a week is $16,203. So $15,000, that's below minimum wage.
Yeah.
And that's median. Wow.
I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, so, maybe money spends different in the altitude difference.
Yeah, I know that there's some differences. I think drinking and doing drugs and stuff affect you differently there.
Yeah.
So I think less is more in a higher altitude, but I have no idea. I've never partied in Denver, Colorado. Not that I really party at all anyway.
Well, apparently you don't have to party much in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah,
you just have one beer and you're smashed.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I love Denver.
I don't know how you'd be able to afford to drink on $15,000 a year if that weren't the case.
When the hell did they make Mick Ultra so strong? Oh, right. I'm in Denver.
Yeah, maybe we're on to something. Let's move Yakking Off to a higher altitude. I wonder if podcasts are more entertaining the higher altitude you are.
Possibly.
Only if you're drinking. As we've said before, we recommend you drink while listening. Even if you're at the gym. You know, you could sneak vodka into those water bottles when you're on the
treadmill. Especially if you're at the gym.
It's a low-calorie beverage. All right, so what else have you been knocking off to? Anything good?
I don't know. I did a bunch over the weekend. Went to the Strawberry Festival, which is a big thing here in Central Florida. It's essentially a fair. They have a carnival midway and concerts and the whole bit. And I can't really talk too much on it because it was miserable. There were so many people there that it just wasn't even pleasant to be there. And to keep a close eye on the kid, there was just incredible lines for everything. It was shoulder to shoulder in the midway pathways. It was not a good situation. They had a ton of good concerts there yesterday while I was there. It's not my cup of tea by any means, but I know that they're super popular. But the Gaither Vocal Band was there. They're a gospel group.
Can't say that.
And you can see them all over TV.
Oh, yeah?
We were sitting outside the venue so I could hear them. And my wife's grandparents dug those guys, too. And they are talented. I just can't deal with Christian music. I can't deal with the whole thank you, Jesus, and all that good stuff. But the guys sound good, and their band is great.
Well, yeah, honestly, a lot of the bands in, like, Baptist churches, too, I mean, they're ridiculous. Like some of the best drummers in the world got their roots playing in, like, gospel bands and Baptist churches and stuff. So, yeah, there's definitely that aspect of it. There's a lot of talent there, but I understand what you're saying when it comes to the whole, like, just Christian, any kind of, because religious music has taken a whole new form now, where it used to be kind of like, you know, you had gospel and then maybe Christian rock. Now it's Christian hip hop and Christian death metal. you haven't lived until you've heard Christian death metal.
We die for our sins.
You know, it's just, okay. Well, I mean, I guess, whatever.
These guys are traditional. It's not gospel, like African-American gospel, like a whole big choir clapping in time and everything.
Had to make it a black
thing. They play a lot on TBN.
Yeah.
Or whoever owns Holy Land.
I don't know. I still haven't been there.
So they played, and like I said, they sounded decent, but I could only take it for a few minutes. And then later on that night, Mr. Brett Michaels was going to play. And he actually had tickets available because they were yelling over the PA, get your tickets at the box office to see Brett Michaels' Rocks On tour or something. It's always got rock in the title. So didn't hang around to
Was he playing outside?
Him playing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. How can they sell tickets if it's just outside? I mean, can't you just hear him?
Yeah, you can hear him, but if you want to go in and see it, it's like an amphitheater. But the amphitheater sits on the edge of the midway. So the reason I got to hear the Gaithers is I actually bought my daughter a slice of pizza, and we were sitting on this picnic table eating the pizza, and it was, you know, 100 yards from the stage.
Right.
So you could see the bleachers and you could see the people that were sitting there, but
Why is this thing a strawberry festival? I guess the strawberries are in bloom now or something. Do you get
Plant City is actually known for its strawberries.
It's called Plant City.
It's called Plant City.
Why don't they change the name to Strawberry City if that's what they're known for?
Yeah, this is the winter harvest, I suppose. And Florida, obviously being a warmer climate, everything blooms earlier.
Uh-huh.
So this is the winter harvest, and I forgot what the exact number is, but it's literally millions of strawberries go all over the world harvested in Plant City. It's like their major cash crop.
Gotcha. So is there a recurring theme of was strawberry shortcake there and strawberry fields?
No, not
was
strawberry
playing.
Shortcake like the doll.
No.
No.
There's no walk-around character?
Shortcake like the food,
yes. It's Florida. Doesn't every event have a walk-around character? And a meet-and-greet and an autograph book? I thought they did.
They have a strawberry princess or a strawberry festival queen or whatever. I didn't see her. I'm assuming she's hot, but I didn't see her.
I don't know. So basically crowds ruined the experience.
Yeah, crowds ruined it. We went last year and we had a great time, but I think me and my wife were talking. I think we went on a Thursday.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was nobody there, and this weekend, today was the last day. So the crowds were just out because everybody wanted to go eat strawberry shortcake, I suppose.
Yeah, that was the thing that kind of ruined that horror con that I went. I went to this thing called Monster Mania. It's in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and I'm actually a friend of a friend of mine. Her dad is the one, or her friend's dad is the one that puts this thing on. So I'm gonna be setting up an interview with him shortly about how the whole thing got started and if there's plans to grow this thing past where it is now. Because honestly, with the success of The Walking Dead and the fact that The Walking Dead cast was there, the place was just swarmed. And you could tell it was not the typical horror. The horror con crowd I'm kind of familiar with. I grew up with all friends that were really, really into that stuff, even though I wasn't like 100% as into it as they are. But I can recognize the typical con goer. And there was honestly, there was just a lot of hot girls that were there that were just dressed up in costumes and stuff, which is always going to happen at cons. But this was more, this one girl was in this Slave Leia outfit. Sadly, her belly was sticking out pretty far. She looked like she kind of looked like Jabba the Hutt from the front a little bit, actually, if you just kind of blinked and caught her. But
Did you not learn anything from Celebration and the Slave Leia's there?
No, her ass was so huge, though. I mean, I think she had a tarp on the back of her fucking costume. It wasn't even a skirt, but I like big asses, so I was like, oh, shit. Oh, damn. You know,
one out of every 20 of those Slave Leia's may be passable.
Yeah. Yeah, this girl was, her belly was a little out of control, but everything else was fine. She was a nice girl. But at the HorrorCon, basically you're paying, you can pay $50 to get in for the weekend, which is 3 days, or you can pay $25 to get in Saturday, $20 to get in Sunday. But what you're doing is you're paying to get in so that you can pay for autographs or buy shit that is marked up at a higher price because it's all in the same spot. So it's like paying to get into a really bad flea market that may have a lot of good stuff, but the prices are off. So I just don't get the appeal of a lot of it. It's just, to me, it's like you're going to pay money that you go and, I mean, honestly, you're meeting these people for like 3 seconds. You know, some of them are nice. You know, I have friends of mine that went and met the Walking Dead cast, and, you know, they paid their money to do that. They said that, you know, a lot of them were really talkative and nice, and they seemed really happy. I guess most of them have only been famous for a short period of time, so they're not as jaded. But when my friend met Billy Dee Williams, and I mean, Peter Mayhew seemed kind of okay, but Billy Dee was just, he did not want to be there. There is no way you could convince me that he was happy about being in there. And, you know, maybe it was because it was later in the day and he'd already been signing autographs for a while, but I mean, he was barely making eye contact with anybody, just sitting there miserable, basically like, okay, whatever. He's probably making $2,000-$3,000 that day, just sitting there in a chair signing autographs. So
He probably hadn't had his Colt 45. Yeah. Works every time.
He had Colt 45 stuff that he was signing, like, you know, the 8x10s or whatever, the glossies that they have. Like, there, you could get a Colt 45 one that he would sign. So It was, you know, it's funny. But, you know, the con, I know a lot of people, I saw a lot of people post on Facebook and everything. People had a good time there. So I'm not going to knock it, but I'm definitely thinking next year it's going to be hard to fit it in that same venue. I mean, you already have to park so far from the hotel that you have to walk. You know, I mean, it's like maybe a 10 or 15 minute walk to get there. It's not the end of the world. Luckily, it was a nice day. You know, it was like it's been 60 degrees or something these past couple of days up in the Northeast, which is great, especially since there was like snow this week and there was supposed to be snow that never happened. And, you know, the weather's just been crazy the past 7 days. But the lines to get through and just the congestion overall. I walked up to this thing. So, you know, like I said, 10 or 15 minute walk. And I get up. And I know by now I should realize that most things, especially like this, are cash only. But in my head, I know how easy it is now to accept credit cards. I mean, literally, if you have an Android or an iPhone, you get a Square. It's 2.75 charge. So it's not like it's an outrageous charge or anything like that. It's not too expensive. You can easily accept credit cards. And I get up. So basically, I walk all the way to this thing. I wait in line. I get up to the line. No cash. Guy's like, no, I can't help you. You know, so I was like, are you serious? You know, so I give him shit for a second, whatever. I'm like, fine. Walk back out to the ATM in the lobby, out of order. So now I have to walk 10 minutes back to my car, get in the car, drive to the bank, get money, drive back, and then walk back to this thing and wait in line again. So I was already kind of in a shitty mood when I got there, you know? So it wasn't the best start. So I'm just saying, can't we all just accept credit cards? I mean, you're gonna get more people to come. You're going to make more money, especially if you're a vendor there. People are going to spend more money if they can use their card than if they have to have cash. Because honestly, the whole time I was there too, I kept saying, so you got a bunch of people walking around in masks and a bunch of people that are carrying cash. And then they're selling knives at the show. It's like, how aren't there 10 muggers at the end of the night just lining the Park Avenue right there, just grabbing people when they're walking out? I mean, it's like the perfect storm to get mugged. I'm surprised that nobody got robbed, but I don't know. So that's my take on the Monster Mania thing. They were playing some movies and stuff. Sadly, I went Saturday, which is Rocky Horror Night, and I like that movie, but I don't need to see it. Like, if I see it once every 10 years, I'm pretty much okay. I missed the night before they played Star Wars: A New Hope in the original unedited, unenhanced theatrical version. So I missed that.
That would have been sweet.
Yeah, that would have been good. And then they were playing the original theatrical versions of Empire and Jedi on Sunday, I think. So there was stuff going on. I was only there for a few hours, so I really didn't get to partake in a lot of the good activities. And like I said, I'm never going to pay anybody to get an autograph. And if I'm ever famous and I ever try to do anything like that, just bitch slap me. Seriously, like, there's no reason why you can't just come up to me in the street and just say, hey, I'm going to do what Steve Martin does and get those little cards printed that say you have just met Steve Martin. And if people come up to me, I'm just going to hand them out. It's like a little business card, you know, like that. If I'm ever famous, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. MegaCon was actually in Orlando or coming to Orlando soon. And I know Peter Mayhew was going to be there, so.
Yeah, he's
maybe he left Jersey or Maryland or wherever you went and flew to Orlando for this one.
Yeah, probably. I mean, what else is he doing? You know, it's
nothing.
Yeah, you got to make money somehow, and you are making fans happy. You know, so that's, I can't really knock it. Like, I just can't imagine. Maybe I guess I'm just jealous. Like, I just want people to want to meet me. So that's the
At the MegaCon website to confirm what the dates were. And for example, Patrick Stewart was going to be there, and under his photo, it says Star Trek TNG, Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Saturday and Sunday only, autograph $75, photo op $85 and up.
Holy shit.
Yeah, right?
Could you imagine? That's
just a smile for a second.
It's terrible.
Have someone take a picture with you. Let's see somebody who's not as popular as him anymore.
I think the cheapest ones at the thing I was just at were like $10-$20. There were some True Blood cast members there. There was a girl that I can't remember what she does in the horror sci-fi fantasy realm, but she plays the Shiva from that show The League that I watch. So I was almost tempted to meet her just because it's like, oh, I got to meet the Shiva, but I wound up being too cheap. Put my money in my pocket.
Yeah, it looks like the cheapest one at MegaCon was like $40. Some people don't have prices, but the ones that do, well, David Prowse, who was Vader in the suit, is autographed $30 and up. He doesn't have a photo op.
Yeah,
the Weasleys are gonna be there.
He's not gonna wear the suit Weasley the whole twins. Time. The Weasleys.
Will Wheaton.
Oh, okay, I got you. Will Wheaton, is that Joss Whedon's brother? Who's that?
From
I'm terrible.
Star Trek,
I'm terrible.
It looks like the entire cast of Star Trek: The Next Generation was there.
So this is like a Trekkie convention. I'm still
it's a comic convention, but apparently all these guys have nothing better to do.
Yeah, I know that my friend Janet that I met at Monster Mania, she's going to Wizard. What the fuck is it? Wizard? Is it Wizarding World or Wizard Con or something with the word wizard in it? I still want to
the Harry Potter convention.
No, it's not a Harry Potter convention. That's what I kept saying. Oh. I was like, I have a season pass to Universal. I'll go to Wizarding World in Orlando if you want. But no, this is a convention that there's going to be a bunch of people at, and it's like, you know, ridiculously expensive. But I still want to hold a Wrath of Con where it's all of the conventions have booths basically selling people why they should want to go to their convention over another convention. It's the con.
It's not
con.
A bad idea.
The con to end all cons. Like, there's
only
nothing fun.
Only if you sell a t-shirt that says con.
Oh, believe me, there'll be plenty of t-shirts and swag. And I mean, they were selling all kinds of crazy shit at this thing. I mean, they had like petrified animals and like beaver faces and faces of animals going back to the Dana interview that I did. Bats and insects that were like, I don't know how they were preserved somehow. I'm trying to think of what other crazy shit that I saw. I mean, tons of copyright infringement. Tons. I mean, just posters that are completely just copied and silk screen, you know, they print glossy versions of it and they sell them. There was one dude, it was artistic. Like, he was hand painting Christmas ornaments with like different characters and stuff on them. But again, it's like, you know, you definitely don't have the rights to do that. There's no way, you know, and acquiring the rights would jack the prices up way too high of being able to sell the stuff. So,
yeah, but I actually ran into that in the late 90s. I want to say it was like Ozfest 97, and they had an airbrush guy there, and he was airbrushing like the Ozfest logo on t-shirts and stuff. And I had bought something because his prices were way cheaper than the actual merch, obviously. And right when it was my turn to get whatever it was I was getting, organizers came over and said, hey, you can't do this. We hired you to airbrush tits or something, not to airbrush our logo onto a t-shirt where you're undermining our cost.
Right.
So to hook me up, and essentially it was a win-win for both of us. He gave me like one of his demo pieces, and that way he didn't have to give me my money back, and I was happy and he was happy, so it was a win-win. But after me, I know that they didn't let him do anything else.
Prices at concerts are ridiculous. Like, I just saw Deftones the other day in Atlantic City at the House of Blues, which is not a venue that I recommend because they have the balcony in there, so that the bottom floor, the ceiling is super low. So it's acoustically terrible. It's a terrible acoustic environment. Like, they put a bunch of speakers like for fill all throughout the place, but the sound is just not good. You know, you can hear, like, I'm sitting there trying to watch the band. I can't even understand what Chino's saying when he's talking. There's all these people around me that are just drinking and talking, and it's just like, why am I paying all this money to go to this concert if I can't even hear the freaking band right? But and then you go over to the merchandise stand, and it's like, you know, $60 for a hoodie. $30 to $40 for a t-shirt. It's ridiculous. And all you're doing when you sell merch like that, I understand it's a really good way to make a profit, but like, wouldn't you want a bunch of kids running around wearing your shirt. I mean, you're basically turning kids and people into billboards for your band, you know? Like, my Minus the Bear hoodie that I wear around, I've had so many people ask me, like, what is that, you know? And I say, oh, it's this band, Minus the Bear. I don't know if any of them have ever gone and listened to the band, but you never know. I mean, it's a good way to get your brand out there and name recognition or whatever. But
right, I think the big time offenders of that is NASCAR, because you really become a walking billboard at that point. Like the driver that I like, Carl Edwards, he drives the Aflac car, so I have a jacket with a giant Aflac duck on the back of it, and you know, everywhere I go, people go Aflac. They don't know it's NASCAR or whatever. They just see Aflac on it, so I become a billboard for them. I don't use Aflac, but 9 times out of 10, if I'm advertising for you and it's a product I can use, I will use it. Like for years, I rooted for Jeff Burton, who drove the Citgo car, so I'd use Citgo gasoline. Or he also drove the Gain laundry detergent car, and to this day, I still use Gain laundry detergent.
Well, that is,
because I'm figuring
that's brand
if
loyalty.
I'm advertising for these fuckers, they might as well be getting my business too.
Yeah, that's good brand loyalty. I kind of have the same philosophy, you know. And in fact, I like Mountain Dew so much that if I was gonna root for a race car, it'd probably be the Mountain Dew car, and I don't even know who would drive it or anything. I'd be like reverse. I'm such a fan of the corporation that I'm just rooting for that corporation.
But, I had a friend like that. His grandfather ran a Texaco station for years, so you know, it was a family run business and everything. So he rooted for whoever was in that Texaco car. Didn't matter who the driver was, who the team was, how they were doing. He said, you know, this is the way my grandfather made his living for this company, and that's who I like.
Yeah, that makes sense. But going back to the Aflac shirt, it'd be funnier now to have a Gilbert Godfrey shirt. the original voice of Aflac. I support the original voiceover artist. I don't know who they have now doing a copy, because Gilbert made that tsunami joke a few years ago or whatever. You know.
And they got all pissed. And Aflac is a good company. I just opted not to use it because I can't afford it.
Yeah,
I need the money now, not if I do potentially hurt myself. Yeah. But I suppose if you have the extra money to plop down the insurance, what they pitch to us at work is actually pretty decent.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know anything about it. All I know is I pay for insurance all the time, and nothing bad ever happens. And the second I don't have insurance, something bad will happen.
Yeah, I pay for insurance for my family because I never use it. Obviously, I've been ill for 2 weeks now and haven't done anything about it, but they won't insure just my family. They want the employee to have it too for some strange reason. So there you go.
Go figure. Who knows? Well, I don't know. I think we're kind of coming to the close, though, tonight here. So I'm going to let you go ahead and do your favorite part of the podcast.
Your feedback.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there are many, many, many ways across the interwebs that you can reach Yakking Off with Jack and Tom. First and foremost is our Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/YowJT. You can also follow us on Twitter at Yakking Off. We have our email addresses, which is jack@yakkingoff.com, tom@yakkingoff.com, or comments@yakkingoff.com. We also have a WordPress, which doesn't have much out there right now, but it will very soon.
It's a picture of my cat.
And that is yakkingoff.wordpress.com.
Yeah, the we're going to be blogging soon. I know I've said that 2 or 3 different times now, but believe me, I'm working on it. Eventually, there will be content on the WordPress. And eventually, too, once we start getting some other podcasts involved, like I said, we're going to be producing a bunch of different short shows so that we can give our listeners more of a fine-tuned, in-depth, exactly what they want to hear kind of experience. So once that goes, the yakkingoff.com website will actually be a fully functional website that you can go to, and it'll be a lot easier to do these plugs because we'll just be able to say, just go to yakkingoff.com, you'll find us. Which I guess will make Jack sad because he can't do his Price is Right impression.
Shed a little tear.
Yep. We need to do
been an announcer.
Yeah, you should have. Okay, here, say this
one. Tom Principato, come on down. You're the next contestant on Yakking Off.
Here's how to order.
Send 3 easy payments and 1 fucked up payment.
Exactly. And on that note, good night, everybody.
See you next time.
Thank you.